Bibles, let's go to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. Appreciate again everybody being here this morning. Several out, some on vacation and different places. Amen. And we're glad you're here. Appreciate you being here. And woke up this morning and went to prayer and about this service and felt like the Lord had dealt with me about these scriptures. You know, the Old Testament, Book of Jonah is a very common, familiar story of the Old Testament, maybe one of the most commonest. But there is a truth here, amen, found in this book. I've preached from it, I think, two or three times since I've been here. But this is a total brand new message. Verse 1, the Bible talks about the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, chapter 1, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know, things don't go right when you run from the presence of God. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And I want to fall down to verse 8. Then said they unto him, during this troubling storm, they had cast lots, and the lot had fell upon Jonah. Of course, he had already beforehand told these men that he was running from the presence of the Lord. And they asked him in verse 8, then said they unto him, "Tell us, pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. And the story goes on through the rest of these verses, that they tried to come up with a better plan. They didn't want to throw them overboard, but they emptied all of their vessels that they were carrying. But still to no avail, the storm was still raging. So finally in verse 15, the Bible says, "So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging." Then verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy. I feel the presence of the Lord here this morning. But I also feel the adversary too, trying to hinder this service. But I know that God has ordered this service. God's will, I pray, will be done perfectly in this service. Let every single word that I say be led by the Holy Ghost, nothing more, nothing less. In Christ's name we pray, and everybody says, amen. I want to preach about this man named Jonah. Of course, I really want to deal out of something in chapter 2 that I'll mention a little later. But God deals with this prophet, this preacher, Jonah, to go to Nineveh to proclaim to them, amen, the word of the Lord, and cry against their sin, And God was tired of their sin. And so he sends and calls for this man named Jonah to go to Tarshish. But the Bible tells us that Tarshish was the actual opposite direction from which, amen, God was sending him. Nineveh was one direction. Tarshish was the opposite direction. And Jonah, the Bible said in verse 3, was running from the presence of the Lord. And I know that you've heard this before, but notice, amen, as Jonah paid the fare thereof, he got on board, they headed off to Tarshish. Amen. Jonah twice, the Bible mentions in verse 3, running from the presence of the Lord. But it's in verse 4 that the story gives us a little inside behind the scenes scoop, if you will. The Bible said that the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. It was this wind that was so contrary that the men on board this ship became afraid. And verse 5, and they began to cry out, every man unto his God, except Jonah was asleep down, amen, at the bottom of the ship. And finally the story goes that the shipmaster goes down to the bottom of the ship and shakes old Jonah and says, awake, O thou sleeper, arise and call upon thy God. Amen. They comes up and finally they end up casting lots to see what was going on here, that they may know whose cause this evil is for. And the lot falls on Jonah. Amen. But here, amen, as they began to ask Jonah questions, he begins to tell them, amen, what he's done. He is running from the presence of God. You know, when a person goes the opposite direction from God, there's only one thing, that's trouble. Amen. Trouble is on every turn. Trouble is on every hand. Amen. But I want you to notice, amen, as these men tried to, amen, bring this ship ashore, amen, and anchor down, it is to no avail. And finally, and verse 15, they take up this man, Jonah, and throw him overboard. And the Bible says that the wind, amen, ceased, that the sea was calm. Amen. But that's not what I want to preach about. But notice in verse 17, amen, here the Lord gives us a behind-the-scenes story again. And it said the Lord had prepared a great fish to do what? To swallow up Jonah. Help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. And Jonah was there in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. But then in verse 2, here's where I want to preach from. In chapter 2, rather, amen, the Bible said, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Who created the wind that caused the storm? It was God. Who created, who prepared the great fish? Amen. It was the Lord. The last verse of chapter 1 says, amen. And it was there, amen, in this fish's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. And I don't know, amen, if you really know this, but if you study the Bible and a little bit of church history, you'll find that this story, chapter Jonah, the book of Jonah, amen, is probably one of the most disputed books in the entire Bible. Amen. Because scientifically, this can't happen. And so forth. But I'll tell you something, if God, amen, wanted to happen, it happened. I believe this is a real story. I don't believe it's a figment of an imagination of some man. I believe this was a literal man. I believe this was a literal fish. Amen. And the Bible said that Jonah prayed out of this fish's belly. And notice what he said. He said, I cried by the reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Now, here's what I want to preach to you. We know that the Bible said in verse 17 that the Lord had prepared this great fish. Huh?
amen, to swallow up Jonah. It was the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but amen, I see the mercy of God in this. Amen. I see the unmerited grace of God, because Jonah should have been dead just moments after they threw him overboard. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Moments after, just minutes, even if he could have swam like a fish, he would only last, amen, for just minutes, amen, in a tossed, raging sea. But it was the Lord who sent this fish to swallow up Jonah. But Jonah doesn't see it that way. Amen, Brother James. He said, I cried, amen, by reason of my affliction, out of the belly of hell cried I. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning, amen, when God's mercy seems like hell. When God's mercy seems and feels like hell, amen. I say that biblically now, not in a curse word, amen. But to Jonah, amen, what was God's mercy? What was God sending the great wind and sending the fish? Amen. Jonah didn't think of it as God's mercy, but Jonah said, I cried from the belly of hell. Where I'm at, he said, it's like hell. But we know, because we know the whole story, that it wasn't a place called hell, amen, but it was God's mercy trying to save a backslid preacher. Oh yes, when God's mercy feels like and seems like hell. I heard a preacher friend of mine from Kentucky. He got saved several years ago, he got saved around the same time I did, about 25, 26 years ago. And this preacher friend said that he had a friend, a very close friend, that time. Amen. This preacher friend was just a young married man then, and I mean 18, 19 year old, and he had a close friend. He had a buddy that he ran around with, and they drank and they did all sorts of things. And well, my preacher friend got saved in his youth, 19 or 20 years old. And so he thought to himself, he said, well, I can't go around this friend because we've done so many things. And he's a little bit older, and he says, I know that he's going to persuade me to go right back into doing that sinful lifestyle. So my preacher friend said, told the story how that he had separated himself to a degree. I mean, he was still kind and friendly, amen, but he separated, and for 20 some years never went back around that particular friend, because they had drank and they had done drugs and they had just done a lot of evil things. And just recently, amen, this other man was lost and was just wicked and vile sinner, amen. But just in the last, amen, the last year, this man came down with cancer, and it just seemed very terrible. Amen. Word went out through that little community that this man had cancer. And so now this preacher friend is not a 19-year-old, but he's, amen, in his 40s now. Amen. And so his wife, this man's that got cancer, his wife calls my preacher friend, amen, who has never been over there in 20-some years, and said, you know, I just wanted to let you know, I know you haven't been around a long time, many years, amen, but I wanted to let you know that so-and-so's got cancer. Amen, brother. Preacher friend of mine said, yeah, I have heard that. And his wife said, would you please come and see him? He's not a Christian. And so Brother Billy goes to this man's house and, amen, and visits with this man who he's not seen, and just bypassing in a vehicle there local, but he's not seen this man in 20 some years. Amen. So he goes and sees him, and he talks to him about the love of God and God's mercy and things of that nature. And so he's trying to witness about them to the Lord. And I remember Brother Billy calling me several months ago. Amen. And he said, Brother Rick, I got a very special request. He said, would you pray for a man by the name of Richard? Richard is dying with cancer. And we were close friends. And he told me the story that I just told you. Amen. And so he went in there and he visited him. And but to no avail, you know, there just didn't seem to be much connection there. Amen. And so Brother Billy, though, went to prayer. And he went to fasting. Amen. And I want to, and this is how it just come to me. Amen. Brother Billy said the Lord dealt with him, and he felt like that this man felt like he was getting bitter toward God. Amen. Just upset at God, and just felt like he, you know, had a bad deck of cards, if you will. Amen. Just life had been a bummer for him. Amen. But Brother Billy went to prayer. Amen. And Brother Billy said that the Lord spoke to him about this text in Jonah here. Amen. How that Jonah felt like he was in hell. But yet we know it was God who prepared the great fish to swallow up Jonah. Help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. And Brother Billy said he felt like the Lord said, when God's mercy, amen, seems and feels like hell. And so he went back another day, amen, to visit his friend Richard. They got to talking. Amen. Brother, this man with cancer had several visitors. There was another man, I don't want to confuse you here, but another man that went to church with Brother Billy, Brother Philip, amen, who was also friends. And Philip had told Richard in private the reason Billy hadn't been back around in 20-some years. It's because he got saved and he didn't want to drink and he didn't want to do drugs and he didn't want to do all those things. And so Richard sort of understood. So when Billy went back, amen, Billy didn't know that. But anyways, he was a little bit more open. Amen. Billy got to talking to him. Amen. And Billy just come down straight. He said, Richard, you're going to die. Amen. That's what the doctors have said. They've gave you no hope. You're going to die. And he said, Richard, please don't leave us. Amen. Amen. With not giving us any hope that you made a preparation to meet God. Amen. I'm telling you, the Lord dealt with me this morning about this text. And Brother Billy said, I know. He looked at Richard, amen, and his wife across the bed. He said, I know you think this is the worst thing that can happen to you. I know you feel like this is a little hell on earth. He said, but I want to tell you, this is God's mercy, because there's some men that don't have a chance. They die instantly and leave this life into the next world, lost without God. Amen. But this thing that you feel like is the most terrible thing that's happening in your life is not just hell, but it's the mercy of God giving you time to repent. What's going on in your life? Amen. Everything going wrong? Amen. You're up against the wall. You're up everything going. Amen. And it seems like a terrible, it might be the mercy of God trying to move some things in your life. He said, well, I'm not saying that God's behind sin. Amen. But I am saying God will use, amen, different situations in your life, amen, to get you to a place. It wasn't Jonah. I mean, notice through chapter 1, he didn't cry out to the Lord when the wind was tossing that boat. He was asleep in the, amen, in the bow of the ship. Amen. He wasn't seeming, and I read that this morning. I said, God, how could he sleep when the ship was tossing to and fro? Amen. How could he be running from the presence of God? Amen. He don't see him praying then when the shipmaster comes down and wakes him up. He doesn't pray. You don't find where he prays. You finally just find out and say, it's me. Just cast me overboard and you'll be free. But it wasn't until he was swallowed up by that fish. Amen. Somehow, something drew Jonah's attention toward God. Amen. Somehow he realized, amen, that God was trying to, amen, get his attention. Brother Billy said, he went several visits to see Richard. Amen. But one day, you just got to know Brother Billy. He said, I was just crying. Tears were streaming down my face. And he said, Richard, amen, it's God's mercy. You're dying with cancer. It's the mercy of God giving you space to repent. And finally, amen, Brother Billy was standing there. Richard was laying there. Amen. This has only been 3-4 months ago. His wife was on the other side of the bed. And the wife's Presbyterian pastor was there standing on the other side of the bed, if I remember right. And Brother Billy just crying, big tears. And he looks at Richard and finally talking to him. And finally the Presbyterian pastor said, "Richard, would you like to get saved today?" Amen. And Richard said, "Yes. Will you tell me how to get saved? How would you lead me to get saved?" And Richard, amen, 20-some years, amen, lost more than that. Amen, but there was a separation. What? Now he's coming down. He's got cancer. Amen, but Brother Billy and this Presbyterian pastor leads this man die with cancer to the Lord. Amen. And Brother Billy says, amen. He said you could see the actual countenance as he lay there with cancer, as he began to pray the sinner's prayer and ask God to forgive him. Amen. In the name of Jesus, cleanse him from every sin. Amen. Brother Billy said, I stood there and watched a smile come upon his face. I seen that burden of sin rolled away. Amen. And you know what? Amen. They went back to see him. Amen. Richard was reading his Bible. Richard had been praying. Amen. Just a week or so ago, when Brother Billy was down here preaching Ralph's meeting a couple of weeks ago, one of the days they called Brother Billy and said, "Brother Billy Atkins, Richard has passed away." And you know what? Amen. They asked Brother Billy to be in the funeral. Billy went all the way back to the hills of Kentucky, preached in that funeral to a family that he hadn't seen in 20-some years. What was it? It was the mercy of God. Amen. His wife told Brother Billy, said, "I don't think nobody else could have touched his heart." Amen. But you were sort of straightforward. You didn't cut no corners. Amen. I'll tell you, when you're out of the will of God and everything going wrong in your life, you might say, "Boy, this just looks like hell. It looks like the devil's just on every turn. Everything's going wrong in my life." It might just be the mercy of God trying to pull your backslid soul back to God. I felt like the Holy Ghost would tell me to tell you, amen, what seems like hell, amen, might just be the mercy of God. Lift your hands and worship the Lord here. I don't have a note of scripture, a note or nothing here. I'm just preaching what I felt like the Lord dealt with me before I ever left the house this morning when I got down to pray. I felt like the Lord said, "Sing, please forgive me and preach from this text." Oh, I want to tell you, amen. Jonah said, "I cried from a valley of hell," but it wasn't hell, Jonah. It was God's mercy. It was God's mercy trying to rescue your soul. God's mercy. When everything was going wrong, I don't think Brother Adam would mind me using him. We've heard him testify publicly how things was going wrong, Brother Adam, when you was lost, just if you know, a few right before you got saved. No doubt you probably just thought, "Man, this is just hell on earth and just this trouble just on every hand." And just amen. But it was just God's mercy allowing you to get more sicker and sicker of that sinful state. Huh? Amen. No. Yeah. When God's mercy seems like hell. Amen. When God's mercy feels like, amen, could it be even your dad, Brother Daniel? Amen. Even your dad, the situation is very sad. I don't want to sound cruel here. Amen. But God, you know, even my dad, let me use my dad, died with Parkinson's disease for 2 years, bedfast. I don't think, I'm just going to be honest with you, it's my dad. Amen. He's gone now. Amen. As soon as I took the church right after he passed away, I do not think that my dad would have got saved, amen, had he not been on his bed for a couple of years. Amen. All that manly pride was gone out of him. Amen. Changed his diapers and just all that stuff. I seen my dad. I never seen my dad cry until his mom died on his last year or so of his life. Amen. I mean, my dad was just a hard man. Amen. But what it seemed like, amen, I'm sure he thought that this was the worst thing in my life that's ever happened to me. Amen. I'm 60-some year old. I'm dying with Parkinson's disease. I'm sure I didn't ask him, but I'm sure he thought that this is the greatest mountain I've ever fought in my life. This is the greatest trouble I've ever had. But what he thought was trouble might have been and probably was just the mercy of God, because he had a son that had prayed for 20-some years, and he had an ex-wife that had prayed and fasted for days and days and days for his salvation. Am I making any sense? What it looked like hell on earth was just the mercy of God to let my dad even finally humble himself down to where he'd say, God, I'm a sinner. Save my wretched soul. So I'm telling you, the trouble in your life right now, the trouble and everything going on in your life, it's mercy. God's not behind the sin, don't get me wrong. But why are you here this morning? I'll tell you what it was. It was God's mercy and his grace pulling you in. So now you got to make a choice this morning. Will you accept the mercy of God, or will you walk out those doors just like you came in? Preacher, it can't get no worse than where I'm at. You're wrong. It can get worse. It can get worse. It can get worse. If I was you, if I was here this morning, I was a backslider on God. If I was a sinner, I was away from God. Amen. I'd run to this altar right now. As my girls come to the piano, please, this morning. I don't want to preach too long. I'm preaching on when God's mercy seems like hell. When it feels like it. It ain't been right ever since you backslid. It hasn't been right ever since you left God. It hasn't been right ever since you started going away from God. This thing's went wrong, and that's went wrong. You look at yourself when nobody's around and you hate yourself. What you've become. You despise yourself. You can't even believe. Amen. You don't say nothing to nobody. But in your own heart, you say, I can't even believe I went this far. I can't believe I've done that. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I did that. All sense of integrity is gone. All sense of purity is gone. I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I went there. I never think I would do that. Amen. But God, amen, in his love and his mercy has made you show up this morning. Amen. Just to hear a little preacher tell, amen, when God's mercy seems like hell. Amen. The prodigal son, amen, said, man, I would have gladly filled my, amen, belly with the husk that the swine did eat. It got so low. Amen. That's the way sometimes backsliders got to do. Amen. They've got to get so low. And God's just allowed you to dig in your sin. Amen. God don't promote that. But if you want to sin, he won't keep you from it. Amen. He'll let you do what you want to do. But I'll tell you what, if you've ever tasted the grace of God, you won't be happy after the sin is over, after the pleasure is gone. You'll feel so much guilt. You'll feel the shame. You'll feel the depression. You'll feel the hatred for your own self. And God all the time is trying to woo you back. What made Judas go out and hang himself? It's guilt. It's guilt. You don't got to go out and hang yourself. Somebody told me just the other day of a, was it a girl that jumped off all one of the bridges up here at Jemison or Thornsby or something, Thornsby or whatever that, is that right, Brother David, a teenager, 20-year-old, 15 girl. She felt like her life was hell. I mean, she felt like her life was just at the bottom. You don't commit suicide when you feel like you're at the top. You commit suicide when you feel like you're at the bottom. When you feel like your hope is gone, there's no use to live. But I preached a message one time, and when that veil was rent, when Jesus died on Calvary, and all of a sudden it says he gave up the ghost, and then it switches the scene from Calvary over to the tabernacle and the temple, and it says that veil was rent from top to the bottom. When that last thread on that veil that separated man and God, when it was broken, Brother Daniel, what was it saying? What was it signifying? It was saying Christ has made a way now through his shed blood that you can go into, The Bible said we have divine access to God through the blood of Jesus. I don't feel worthy. You won't. That prodigal son, I don't see him skipping down the old dusty trail. I can't picture that story, Sister Veda, him just skipping down the old trail to the Father's house, Brother Brad. But I picture in my mind with his head hung low. Is anybody else with me on that? I'm not trying to add to the Word of God or take away, but I could just sort of, I don't see him skipping. I just sort of, with his head down, I'm not worthy to be thy son, Lord. I'm not worthy to be thy, just give me a servant. Even your servants have bread enough and to spare. Matt Homer preached on the God of more than enough. Where are you at this morning? You lost without God? You away from God? Pray, saints, please. I'm through preaching. I don't believe you're here by chance. I promise you with every ounce of strength I have, I didn't get this after you got here. I had this before I ever came to church. A little simple thought, nothing fancy. But it's just basically telling you that what's going on in your life right now. Please don't wait for cancer. Please don't wait for a car wreck to get your attention. He's talking to you right now, saying, girls, I feel the Lord's conviction here right now. This altar is open, friend.
Mercy said no. I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid.
I like this hog pen, preacher.
Mercy said no. Sin will never take control.
Mercy's trying to pull on you.
As life and death stood face to face.
Mercy's pulling on you right now.
Darkness tries to steal my heart.
Sing it.
Away.
Say it again.
Mercy said no. I'm not gonna let you go.
Come on.
I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid.
Come on.
Mercy said no. Sin will never take control.
God's mercy.
As life and death stood face to face. Darkness tries to steal my heart away.
altar's open.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're in that storm. You're in that storm. Everything in your life is tossing right now. Why do you think you walked in them doors this morning? You might think you just decided to come. And I'm glad you're here. Please don't misunderstand this statement. But it really wasn't that. It was God put it in your heart to come. And the same time he put it in your heart to come this morning was when I was kneeling by my couch this morning before anybody else woke up. And I was praying and I was crying. And I was asking the Lord about this service. I felt like the Lord just dealt with me about this verse. Because this is actually Brother Billy's sermon I heard him preaching at Ralph's. And I said, Lord, I don't want to preach another man's sermon. But I just felt impressed to come this morning and tell you when God's mercy feels like hell. How does it feel at your house right now? What's going on at your house? I don't know. But I feel like there's a storm brewing. You tried to work it out. You've tried to help. You've come here this morning for help. Now you need to make that final step. Am I telling it right, church? You need to make that final step. Come on. Come on up. Come back to the Father's house this morning. In God's mercy. Saying, girls, I'm through preaching.
Mercy said no.
This altar's open.
I'm not going to let you go.
Will you come?
I'm not going to let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no.
Come on this morning.
Sin would never take control.
Come on. Come on, count the cost.
Life and death stood face to face.
I don't want to leave like a cane preacher.
Tried to steal
I come
my
down.
Heart
I come
away.
Down and out. I come busted. I come
thank
defeated.
Jesus.
I come as low as I feel like a man can go.
No.
You don't have to
mercy
walk out them doors
said
like that.
No.
You can come.
I'm not going to let you go.
Sing.
I'm not going to let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said
oh,
no.
God.
Sin will never take control.
Hallelujah.
As life and death stood face to face.
Come on, church, let's pray.
Darkness tried to steal
come on,
my
everybody.
Heart away.
Gather around this altar. Come on,
thank
Santa friend.
You, Jesus.
Come on, backslider.
Mercy said no.
This altar's open. Making it easy for you. Come on. Come on. We'll gather around you and pray with you. Oh, God. In the name of Jesus.
Mercy said no. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control.
Come on.
As life and death stood face to face, as darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy.
When you gonna come to yourself? How much lower you gotta get before you come to yourself? As the prodigal son did. This altar is open. Come on. Come on. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. Everyone here that's lost, everyone that's cold in their heart, everyone that's backslid, Lord, if there's just one or there's many, you think you're a failure.
Life's not going your way.
Sing it, girls.
There's no hope for tomorrow. Nothing.